I'm watching you.
Faiju, can you hear me?
You don't understand how entertaining you, understand. You are sometimes.
You don't. All I've got to say is just...
I'm fighting you after this, dude.
No, you're not.
Mm-hmm.
You're stupid. You're stupid. I hate you.
Came into my life and tried to do me wrong. So in return for that, I have sent you this song. It tells you what I think and how I feel about you. So take a seat and listen up, 'cause every single word is true. Dickhead, you're such a dickhead.
Do you know the secrets of making friends? They are so simple and easy.
The Coffee Bats Podcast.
Jason.
He doesn't listen to me anymore.
Just what? What did you say?
We've gotten to that point.
What?
What did you say?
Wait till he starts going deaf.
I know what happens there. My dad.
Because all of you guys probably start kind of blending together. Mm-hmm.
So you're saying...
My dad...
I'm not special?
He doesn't forget things like that, but he's horrible with names. So all growing up, I thought he had the best method for this. He would call people chief, boss, Mo.
Mm-hmm.
So it kind of made them feel special. And also they never knew that he had no fucking idea what their names were. Because you couldn't remember a fucking name to save your life. Mm-hmm. Remember the guy in the thing in the place? How long did it take you to learn how to spell my last name? How many years were we dating?
I haven't.
Look.
How often do I write it down? I don't write it down.
How do you not know how to spell your girlfriend's last name that you
Because if
for
I write
years?
It down, it's on the computer, and my computer knows your last name. So I start writing CRI, and then it finishes it for me.
That is absolutely not a reason for anything. If you love a person and care about them, you know how to spell.
I don't know
your
phone number.
Social security number memorized.
Yes, but that's because.
I have your phone number memorized, your date of birth.
I don't know your phone number.
That's I'm making
you know
a
why?
Because
in my phone,
point.
When I'm in my car, I say call Christina Lomangino, and they call you on my phone. I
oh,
say
so
the
so
same
you're lazy.
Thing. No, I use technology.
Right?
I use technology, Mike. You're, fuck you. I
which
use
which makes you lazy.
You text message with your voice.
Not all the time. When I'm driving in my truck.
No, when you're here, you always do.
Do you dispute?
Sometimes I do because sometimes I don't want to sit there like that. I want to get it done quick.
I don't like where this.
Do you
this
dispute
is going.
That technology makes you lazy to a certain extent?
It makes you lazy in those
dependence.
Aspects.
It like, makes you dependent.
Look,
dependent, yes.
Nobody,
thank you, yes, dependent.
Nobody has phone numbers memorized anymore.
No, I don't know anything except for my home phone number because I didn't have a cell phone.
Nobody knows how to
my
spell.
House, like growing up home.
You're
my
proving
parents.
A point. Nobody knows how to spell.
I know I am.
Because you have spell
I
check.
Understand that, but it doesn't make me lazy.
It makes your mind, your memory ability lazy, absolutely. Your brain is a muscle. If you stop working it out. It atrophies.
No, I am not disagreeing with you on that because there's if it's code or if it's design, I can remember it verbatim. But if it's anything else, I can't remember. And I hear you on
use
that.
Use it over and over again.
I agree with you. Mike and I had a... Before he, like, because he's against me on this, Mike and I had a conversation on text message with the meat he brought tonight. He asked me if we had a slow cooker. And I said, yes. And he said, great, we're going to use it. That's why I'm going to come over early. He comes over at 12, very early, and says, oh, I forgot you guys have that. I bought a thing to cook it.
It all clicked. It all clicked. I even wrote it down.
You forgot?
I forgot.
So,
yeah, that's
exactly.
That's one instance.
Oh, I can bring up other instances.
What did I do? Come on.
I could, but I don't remember.
Well, it goes back to my original point of the fact that you care about something... doesn't negate forgetting it. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of things you care about that you still forget. Yeah. I'm done. That's the end of my point.
Did I suck?
A little
well,
bit.
No, but that's a whole other issue. For another podcast.
Hey guys, welcome to the Coffee Klatch crew.
As you can see, this episode is full of fun and silliness. It's with Christina, myself, and Mike.
I forgot Frank. Sorry, Frank.
The bulk of this podcast we'll get to something. We actually talk about something, and that's dreams. In that, we entail dream symbols, dream definitions, and some dreams that have changed history. So we hope you enjoy it, and we would love it if you guys would tell your friends about us, have them download a couple of episodes, and maybe subscribe. That'd be amazing, huh? And on your free time, check out our Facebook. Myself and Darnell love to update that with good news stories and some funny clips. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the podcast. And I apologize for how stupid I am in this. Completely silly in this episode. Deal with it.
All right, let's talk about dreams.
No, I don't want to.
And what dreams may come.
Well, before talking about it... We're never going to get into it, are we?
Oh, my God. Oh, yes, we can. I'm just... It's this dude. I've known him for so long. He's been doing that for so long. It makes me laugh every time. I can't help it.
Sorry.
Okay.
Before we start talking about it, Mike has an article that talks about 10 remarkable dreams of some of the world's most prominent scientists, writers, instances where dreams were responsible for major discoveries.
Yeah. The title of it is 10 Dreams That Changed History. And number one is author Mary Shelley, who wrote the world's first science sci-fi novel, Frankenstein. Which is a brilliant piece of work, by the way.
Yeah, I think. Story about her husband.
This might sound ignorant, but I don't think I knew that that was the world's first sci-fi novel.
I didn't know that at all.
Well, when you think about it, I'm sure that's up for debate, you know? Mm-hmm. I'm sure that's up for debate. But
yeah, probably.
I guess you can put it up there for the first relevant one.
Well, published in 1816,
yeah.
So mm-hmm. The time frame's right.
Yeah.
But I
find it hard to believe that that was the first work. It's probably the first well-known.
Yeah, they say often cited.
Yeah.
As the world's first right. Sci-fi.
Because she wasn't the only person thinking crazy shit back then, let's be real. You know?
Yeah, that's true.
But, I mean, if you don't know the story of Frankenstein, go get a book. I'm not going to describe it for you. If you don't have somewhat of understanding with it, because it's so relevant to our society, you're dumb.
You're dumb.
You're dumb. Not really. Just, you know, check it out. It's fun to read, actually. Number two is Paul McCartney, and it says, music that inspires people. In 1965, Paul McCartney composed the entire melody for the hit acoustic song Yesterday in a Dream. It came back to him fully formed when he woke up and quickly replicated the song on his piano, asking his friends and family if they'd ever heard it before. He initially worried that he was simply replicating someone else's work, known as Cryptonesia.
Wow, it actually has a title.
Yeah.
So he had...
He had a dream.
He had a dream.
Writing the song. Woke up. Played it. For friends. Cohorts. And he says, have I ever done this before? He was like, no. And it was note for note.
Yeah, because it was so fully formed that he figured he had to have stolen it.
Yeah.
Yeah. But no one said he stole it, right?
No, he said, he's like, never heard that before.
He just had that feeling like, how else would I have had a song come to me fully formed in my head if I hadn't heard it before?
Right.
Yeah, but real quick, Paul McCartney and the Beatles are known to dabble in a little bit of the drugs.
Well, they only dabbled after they met Bob Dylan.
But maybe their dreams, his dream was a drug-induced state with God. No, I'm not saying it's anything against the drugs. You do like DMT, you do something, heightens it. But that might have been his dream state, and he just had the music going.
Well, listen to this quote that he says. For about a month, I went around to people in the music business and asked them whether they had ever heard it before. Eventually, it became like handing something into the police. I thought if no one claimed it after a few weeks, then I could have it. So he was like seriously paranoid that it wasn't even his own work. So
wow.
Maybe it was a little drug-induced.
From my knowledge... That sounds like LSD.
Yeah.
And it's dude sounds like LSD.
Yep. And then
cuz on that on Lucy that in the on sky, that drug you have pieces of memory of things that have happened.
Yeah.
Well, so you can explain that away with the artist, but there's also some pretty prominent scientists on this list too.
Of course. Yeah, I was just
can't attribute that to
devil's advocate.
But number three is Niels Bohr. I believe he was he won the Nobel Prize for Physics, so he was a physicist. The father of quantum mechanics, Niels Bohr, often spoke of the inspirational dream that led to his discovery of the structure of the atom. In time, he set upon understanding the structure of the atom, but none of his configurations would fit. One night, he went to sleep and began dreaming about atoms. He saw the nucleus of an atom, with electrons spinning around it, much as planets spin around the sun. Immediately upon awakening, Bohr felt the vision was accurate. But as a scientist, he knew the importance of validating his idea before announcing it to the world. He returned to his lab, searched for evidence to support his theory. It held true. And Bohr's vision of atomic structure turned out to be one of the greatest breakthroughs of his day. Bohr was later awarded the Nobel Prize for Physics as a result of his leap in creative thinking while asleep.
Can you imagine what people were seeking to understand forever and ever? The very basics of our structure. And well, just like having this vision of it spinning crazy. Before you yeah. in a dream.
And well, then and understand it and reapply it alone.
Right.
Like forget the and dream, which it. Is amazing in its own. Remember it, understand it, and reply
can we,
it.
Can we look up what year that was?
Or apply it. I'm sorry.
Niels Bohr.
Yeah, because all I have here is that he got his doctorate in 1911. And okay. gained notoriety for deciphering complex problems in physics that left his colleagues stumped.
For which he received the Nobel Prize in Physics in 1922. So yeah. he got the prize in 1922.
Right. Well, it couldn't have been too far a couple of years from that.
Yeah.
But so we'll say circa 1916 between 1922.
Yeah.
And then the next one, number four, is Elias Howe, The Eye of the Needle.
In 1845, he invented the sewing machine based on a famous dream that helped him understand the penetration of the needle. He was not the first one to conceive the idea of a sewing machine. However, he made refinements to the design and was awarded the first U.S. patent for his sewing machine. He almost beggared himself before he discovered where the eye of the needle of the sewing machine should be located. He might have failed altogether if he had not dreamed he was building a sewing machine for a savage king in a strange country. Just as in his actual work experience, he was perplexed about the needle's eye. He thought the king gave him 24 hours in which to complete the machine and make it so. If not finished in that time, death was to be his punishment. He worked and worked and puzzled and finally gave it up. Then he thought he was taken out to be executed. He noticed the warriors were carrying spears that were pierced near the head. Instantly came the solution of the difficulty, and while the inventor was begging for time, he awoke. It was 4 o'clock in the morning. He jumped out of bed, ran to his workshop, and by nine, a needle with an eye at the point had been rudely modeled. After that, it was easy. This is the true story of an important incident in the invention of the sewing machine.
Wow.
Thank you very much. Wow.
Wow.
Well, textiles, thread, it's a big deal.
Yeah.
It's a big fucking deal.
Yeah, these are things that changed...
That changed history.
Everything.
Changed the textile industry. Absolutely. But number five... is Albert Einstein and the speed of light. As a young man, Einstein dreamed he was sledding down a steep mountainside, going so fast that eventually he approached the speed of light. At this moment, the stars in his dreams changed their appearance in relation to him. He awoke and meditated on this idea, soon formulating what would become one of the most famous scientific theories in the history of mankind, which is... E equals MC squared, which is almost the model for quantum physics. You know, it's relative to basically all life and what we do. But
it's definitely relative to that Discovery Show, Mythbusters.
Oh,
so it's identical. It's used often with the show Mythbusters.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
They always, like, whenever they're trying to bust a myth, science is always involved, and they're always talking about E equals MC squared, yeah.
It's true. I wish I knew how to apply it, but I'm fucking stupid. But that reminds me of a whole thing where when somebody discovers something this relevant, and he knows, he or she knows, that they've fucking nailed it.
Yeah.
Imagine bringing that to people and trying to explain it, and your peers who are on the same level as you looking at you like, you're a fucking idiot. What are you talking about?
Well, and then to top that off, they're like, how did you come up with that? And
exactly.
You're like, well, I was dreaming last
right.
night.
Right. It brings me back to this thing with the comedian Bill Burr.
Oh,
he
yeah.
He said, he had this whole bit about how if Albert Einstein sounded like somebody with a deep Southern accent,
mm-hmm.
he wouldn't be taken as seriously. And it, you know, keys to certain prejudices we have about certain people. And it's just like a majority of us would think the same thing. If this guy was talking, if he didn't have that thick, you know, German / Austrian accent,
yeah,
would we take him seriously?
Well, we've said that before. Part of your impression of people's intelligence, it comes with a package,
right?
Mm-hmm.
Right. So, like, think of Albert Einstein with a Mississippi accent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
And this is what it would be.
I notice there's a weakness in my act, man, that I have to work on. I notice, like, anytime I'm imitating a moron, I always do it in a Southern accent. If you notice that, I mean, you notice that in my act. I do it all the time because I'm exploiting a very little-known prejudice. There's a prejudice against the Southern accent. Not if you got, like, a light one. You know, that's kind of cute. Girl makes her hot. You know, a guy can get laid or some shit. But, like, if you got a really harsh Southern accent, you know, like if somebody came up here like, I don't get to that Brooklyn Bridge. Yeah, you know, I get to Brooklyn Bridge. Immediately, like, this guy's a fucking moron, right? Just because of his accent. What I love about that theory is it's bullshit because there's smart and dumb people everywhere you go. So that means if Albert Einstein had a really harsh Southern accent, no one would have listened to him. He would have been up there saying all this brilliant shit like, hey, A equals MC squared. He'd be going like, shut up, you redneck. Come on, man, I'm serious. This fucking shit works, all right? Up here trying to end the war, you know? Can't even comprehend what the fuck I'm talking about. I don't need to be here, right? I go fishing. I don't give a fuck.
Oh, that's perfect. I love Bill Burr.
Yeah.
He's great.
He's brilliant. Number 6, Srinivasa Ramanujan, the man who knew infinity. And I think you have the story on that, right?
Yeah, mathematical genius. Who made contributions to theories of numbers, fractions. He proved more than 3,000 theorems in his lifetime. And he stated that on many occasions, the insights for his work came to him through dreams.
Wow.
He says, while asleep, I had an unusual experience. There was a red screen formed by flowing blood. I was observing it. Suddenly, a hand began to write on the screen. I became all attention. That hand wrote a number of results in elliptical integrals. Integrals. They stuck to my mind. As soon as I woke up, I committed them to writing.
Hmm.
So apparently more than once this happened to him.
Well, it's a known documented fact when we're asleep. Our brain is 10 times more open as it is as when we're mm-hmm. awake. I mean, the amount of information that we receive is different while we're awake, but different parts of our brain are accessed while we are asleep that we cannot access when we are awake. So,
oh, yeah.
Well, and then if you follow theories like Jung, who talked about a collective unconscious and that we all sort of share different things in our deeper subconscious levels, things like archetypes or images that we all kind of instinctively know and relate to.
Mm-hmm.
And so perhaps some of that includes the science that underlies nature and everything that's around us. So these people are credited as being geniuses, and they were able to scientifically prove all of their theories. But the fact that it came to them, that they were able to see it in that way, maybe shows that it's something we all know on some level and just can't put words around or explain right or understand the way these people could.
Yeah.
You know?
That's why I always say we should worship those very intelligent people, dude, and we should listen to them.
Mm-hmm.
And most people aren't. They just go, hey, let's give him a job. He'll make us some money.
Well, or we're scared of them.
Yeah, that too.
If they have these crazy... I mean, these people were talking about scientific discoveries at a time where everything was ruled by religion and people didn't want to hear about that.
Think of, you know, the good Galileo.
The Big Bang didn't create the world. God created the world.
Right. Oh, the earth is flat.
You know?
Earth is flat, square. If that was the case, we all go fucking falling to our dooms every time we went into the ocean. Number 7, Robert Louis Stevenson. If you guys don't know who that is the author of Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. In 1886, Stevenson dreamed up three key sequences from the infamous fantasy thriller, the novel, The Strange Case of Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. For 2 days, I went about racking my brain for a plot of any sort. And on the second night, I dreamed the scene at the window and the scene afterwards split in two, in which Hyde pursued for some crime, took the powder, and underwent the change in the presence of his pursuers. While recovering in bed from a hemorrhage, Fanny Stevenson heard his screams resulting from an opium-induced nightmare.
There you go.
He promptly awoke and complained, "Why did you wake me? I was dreaming a fine bogey tale." The next morning, Stevenson began scribbling furiously, and 3 days later, he had written a 30,000-word draft.
Whoa. Wow.
Like,
Jesus.
Any writer can tell you 30,000.
The wonders of opium.
Any writer can tell you 30,000 words in 3 days.
That's crazy.
That is crazy.
That's a next level shit, as we would say. Frank's here.
Frank just walked in. Sorry, hey, man.
And some of these things, I mean, some of them sound amazing. This one you could say, well, you know, it's just a book. But again, they're talking about things that had never been thought of before. So where we talked about Frankenstein before, Shelley's vision came from a horrible nightmare in which people were being resurrected from graves, mm-hmm. dead bodies walking around. Now, this is the first literary piece, Jekyll and Hyde, that describes somebody that has multiple personalities. So these were groundbreaking at the time. I mean, it's amazing.
A guy taking a potion that accesses that violent side of him.
Yeah.
And also it physically manifests itself. Like, it's bugged out stuff. Bugged out stuff. And you can't tell me, like, I'm sure we can look it up, but those people were probably, you know, labeled as heretics.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure. Or many antichrist.
Like, how could you write something like that? And he just goes, "I go to church every Sunday. I just like to write stuff." You know, he goes, "No." But, you know, we all, that's what we all do. Like, case in point, when the internet first happened, did any of us take it seriously?
No. Well, I couldn't afford to have a computer.
I was going to say, in the very beginning, most of us couldn't. Yeah, it was a big mystery.
Couldn't afford to take it seriously. Yeah.
Yeah, but like.
Hey, Frank.
Woo!
Welcome, buddy.
I'm sorry, Frank. This is my shit. I got
two of those. Welcome to the podcast.
You're awesome.
Hello, everybody.
Welcome to the cast. Welcome to the
cast. I'm sorry, folks. Frank, how much do I owe you, bro? All
right, man.
You sure?
Yeah.
All right. I got an awesome sandwich for you.
Oh, look at you. Blueberry.
Needs to open for at least an hour.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So, actually, do you have that thing so we can open it?
Yeah, this I left it up there.
Oh, he got the duck walk. We went there.
Awesome.
We've been there. We saw the vineyards.
I have some dark chocolate to go with that.
Yep.
Fantastic.
And I'm going to make poached pears for dessert, too.
Dude, if you want to open this now.
check, check.
Hello.
Hello.
Mine's not loud enough?
No, but I have it maxed.
Well, it didn't sound like it when he was recording before, but then when you played back, it sounded fine.
I know,
fine.
It was loud when you played back.
Yeah, it was loud when you played it back.
It's just not picking up on here for some reason.
My delicate voice is...
Well, Frank,
I was just about to say, you can probably speak softly, like you usually do. And it will come... No, but it will come out fine.
Yeah. Oh.
Well, Frank, thank you for coming. Welcome.
Hi. Thank you. Thank you for
Appreciate you being here. So we were just talking about these people that had dreams that essentially led them to pretty much invent something that changed the world forever. We've gone through Albert Einstein, Paul McCartney.
So you're saying these people,
Mary Shelley, they
had visions in while they were sleeping on what needed to be done. And they just happen to remember
either pictures that came in front of them or lyrics to the songs, melodies. It just came to them in a dream.
You know, because most people don't remember their dreams.
Exactly.
So, well, yeah. We're
that's what I was saying. Yeah, it's crazy.
So there's another level of genius to that.
Yeah.
Yep. Oh, yeah, definitely.
But, okay, so just to
we have a few more
continue
left.
Continue the list that we have. Can you guys hear me all right? There we go. Okay. What we have? We had last one was Robert Louis Stevenson, the author of Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. We later found out that his was opium induced.
Nice.
So
yeah,
but I mean, back then opium was commonly used.
Yeah.
So number eight is Otto Lowy or Lowy, and it's the discovery of the nerve impulse breakthrough, which he basically discovered acetylcholine, mm-hmm. the newer transmitter that promotes dreaming.
Can you imagine that? That's a crazy.
So, like, what's that dream like?
See, he must have
that's
been
some
on some
Inception
like, DMT.
Stuff. I dreamed about a thing that causes dreaming.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. Yeah,
I drugs.
I don't have any profound dreams unless I eat pizza.
Because we were talking, the one we were talking about before was with Paul McCartney, how he wrote a song, and he did it in his dream, and he woke up and he did it verbatim, and he was going around the music business and his friends. He goes, "You guys ever heard this song before?" Because he thought he heard it from somewhere, and everyone's like, "No, I didn't." And I'm sitting there going, "That's LSD." I tell people that, and I go, "From experience, that's LSD.
Nice.
That's what happens. You sit there, you create something, and then you sit there and you go, "Did that happen? Did that happen? I can remember clear as day what I did, but I'm not sure if it really happened."
Well, I've never taken LSD, and I have that happen all the time.
I've never taken LSD. It's bad for you. Don't do it. Don't do it. Number nine, Christine, I think you have to help me elaborate on this one, is August Kikule, the Ouroboros benzene dream.
Yeah, basically, he dreamed of the structure of the benzene molecule. So all other compounds had a circular structure, and his had a linear one, which sounds pretty simple, but it led to a lot of other breakthroughs in science. And he said that he was sitting writing at his textbook, but the work wasn't progressing. And while he dozed off, the atoms were gambling before my eyes. This time, the smaller groups kept modestly in the background. My mental eye, rendered more acute by the repeated visions, could now distinguish larger structures, long rows, sometimes more closely fitted together, all twisting in snake-like motion. But what was that? One of the snakes had seized hold of its own tail, and the form whirled mockingly before my eyes. As if by a flash of lightning, I awoke, and this time spent the rest of the night in working out my hypothesis.
This guy was abducted by aliens. They taught him this, and then he applied it to the human nature. That's what really happened.
Well, and this is a common ancient symbol known as the Ouroboros, and mm-hmm. that's where you get the name of the dream and the compound and everything else. So that's
it's just
cool.
The name of the fucking planet that particular alien was from.
The Ouroboros definitely sounds like a galaxy.
Yeah.
Something you hear in Star Wars, like, oh, those are on the outer rim, the Ouroboros.
Well, so maybe it wasn't always drugs. Maybe the aliens came down and gave him visions of.
Listen,
I strongly believe that's what I mean. Aliens
abduct us all the time and they fuck with us.
The pyramids.
I don't mean in a violent way. I just mean like, hey, look, you see what I did to that guy? See what I did to him today? Like, that dude's going to be fucked up in a good way.
No one's going to believe him. Plans for that definitely came from aliens.
Transgenders. They didn't do that on their own.
Mike, what's number 10?
Oh, God. Number 10 is actually another remarkable feat in the field of medicine. It's by Frederick Banting, and he developed insulin injections for treating diabetes.
Wow.
From a dream.
And it says he lacked...
That's a boring dream.
First of all, wait. Jesus. He lacked knowledge of diabetes in his research, so he really didn't even know that much about it.
Right.
That's the crazy part. But his mother passed away from diabetes, and then he was determined to find a cure. While he didn't find a cure, he found the next best thing, treatment using insulin injections that could extend the lifespan of sufferers, and that won him the Nobel Prize in Medicine at just 32 years old.
I wish there was a technology where we could say, like, oh, man, that's amazing. All right, now let's click this button on the internet and watch that dream because it's been recorded. You know what I mean? And then we can watch what he actually dreamed and be like, oh, that's how he came up with it. Yeah. How cool would that be?
They do that in science fiction movies all the time, man.
That would be awesome.
Well,
they do, well, I mean, I'm
have you seen Black Mirror's BBC?
No, it's on the list.
Yeah, it's on my list.
It's on the list.
There's an episode that talks about us having a chip where we record everything we go through, and then we can go through it. It automatically links with TV screens or computer screens that we have, and we can just rewind. We use our hand gestures. We rewind like if you had a meeting this morning, like, fuck, did I say something messed up? And you just rewind and you can watch it on the screen.
But they never said, did that include
it records
their
from
dreams?
Your eyeballs.
They never said,
no,
right?
It doesn't. It doesn't. But
not in anybody's
sense. That's how I got that
lifetime.
Leap.
Yeah.
That's how I jumped to it. By the way, Black Mirror is watch it.
Just that by itself would help me out on a daily basis.
Mm-hmm.
Is it available?
No, not yet.
No, not in our lifetime.
It got scary, though. I don't think I would want it after watching the...
Yeah, you guys got to watch it. Ugh, Black Mirrors.
Well, it's accessing your brain.
It's
know.
On Netflix.
We don't know enough about the brain to start putting chips in
it. You know, you'll be Johnny Mnemonic.
That's a good... That's a...
Wow.
Fun
flashback.
Fact. Yeah.
Keanu. Wow.
Keanu! Just fun fact. Black Mirrors was going to be dropped from Netflix because their time ran out. And the last 2 months that Black Mirrors was going to be on. So 2 months ago from here, which we're in February, it was supposed to be dropped. And then all of a sudden there was a surge in people watching it. And then it just built up popularity and everyone's watching it. And they just renewed it. And so now it's still on there. So you guys can still watch it.
It took that long for word of mouth, I think, to get around.
Yeah, yeah. And season 3 is coming out now. It's just like Sherlock on BBC. It wasn't on BBC America, so we didn't know about it. It was just on regular BBC. And now it's on BBC America, and they're starting from episode 1.
But is the new...
I mean, season 1.
Is season 4 and 5 going to be on BBC America, or is it going to be on PBS? That's where they originally were on.
I don't know, to be honest.
It'll probably be on BBC America.
I'm hoping.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter. Netflix, holla back.
Or Hulu.
This podcast is brought to you by Netflix.
Yeah, good money.
What's the next one on the list?
That's
Mike?
It. Sorry. That was 10.
Oh,
that, sweet.
That
beautiful.
Was it. We all were right. Going to go into a different section talking about common dream symbols. I think there are certain things we were talking about before, archetypes and common symbols. There are certain symbols that come up a lot in people's dreams. People talk about it all the time, like, you know, dreams of being chased, dreams of falling or flying. Everybody has
swimming means
those.
Something.
Yeah, at some point in their lifetime. So there's 30 of them. I'll pick out the ones that I think are probably most common. We'll run through the other ones. They have animals, babies, being chased. I think that's a common one. And it says in all cultures, it means you're feeling threatened. So reflect on who's chasing you symbolically and why there's a possible threat in real life.
Age.
Crosses.
Not even close.
Crosses, exams.
I feel it coming up. Don't dismiss that. It's I not feel even, it coming up.
It's not even close, dude. We're 30-something. We haven't even scratched the surface
yes,
yet.
Yes, but in a blink of an eye, we went from 19 to 30.
Yeah, guess how that's going to be when we're looking back
I
at
know,
this now?
I know that's happening, and that's why I feel the chase coming on.
That fear don't come until 50, dude. My dad told me.
Okay.
I'm not dismissing it.
Right.
I'm just saying.
I won't talk about my feelings said. Anymore.
No, that's please fine. Don't. They're boring.
It's very upsetting that some young 30-somethings are talking about the age thing. And you know.
Well, no, I think that's a lot more common, Frank. And I hear what you're saying, Mike. But I think the reason we're feeling it more is something's happening and we're starting to age younger. People are feeling older at 30 now than they used to. I don't know why it's happening with all of our scientific advancements, but the things
really?
People are suffering at a younger age, these mysterious illnesses and pains.
It's what we eat, man.
Yeah, what
we don't
eat
natural our, foods anymore.
Our environment, our air. I think it's happening to everybody, so now there's more and more of a fear of getting
well,
older.
We lived on a contaminated planet, so.
Yeah.
Well, it was always contaminated, but I don't know. I just have the opposite feeling. I mean, every year I get older, I get younger.
You are so atypical, I got to tell you.
Yeah, you fucking...
It's not common.
You do shit that
really?
I can't do.
Like what?
Run 1,000 miles.
I've only
and
run.
You also don't age. Look at him. Does he look a day older than when we met him?
No, and he looks younger normally, but he's got this beard going on right now.
I like the beard.
He likes to chop wood.
It's
I
fresh.
Like the beard, Frank.
It's fresh.
He keeps it. He
it's
keeps
not very
it,
aerodynamic.
Did you do that yourself?
Yeah, I'm not running a 4.5-minute mile, so it's all
he
right.
Keeps it styled. It's nice and
it.
Trimmed.
I just need to get you know.
It is pretty fresh.
The white piece.
Is it
out.
Because you're a chef now?
I don't know. I just decided to grow it.
Okay. All I know is your mic is not. People listening, if his mic isn't picking up, I apologize. There's nothing we can do about it now. We're just going to go with it.
Thanks.
It's going to be fun.
It's going to be fine.
I think you'll be all right.
Just had to put that on blast, didn't you?
They hear it. It's not like they didn't know.
Just put it on blast.
Well, so it's funny you're talking about that. The next one on the symbols list is death. but actually death of a friend or loved one, and they say that represents change, endings, and beginnings. It's not a psychic prediction of any kind. Mm. So it's more of a symbolic. It can actually be a good thing.
I'm sorry to interrupt. I had a dream about death one time, and it was very it affected me because it felt so real. And that's when we were on the
Chantix,
which when we were quitting smoking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It gave us dreams that were not like when you wake up from a dream, you feel like it was distant and you're like, oh, that was a dream. Mm-hmm. This was the kind of dream where you wake up and you feel like you're still there. You're sweating, your heart's beating, you're breathing hard.
It was in the commercial.
Not only that, you would actually question, like I would turn to him and ask him if I had done some of the things because it felt so real. I really wondered if I got up in the middle of the night and did some of the things I dreamed about.
Oh, wow.
So the dream I'm speaking about is my mother killing my father in our house. Mm. It wasn't our house. It was our, like, visually... In my dream, it wasn't actually our house, but it felt like it was our house in the dream. That's extra tidbit, doesn't matter. He was mad about something. He was yelling, and my mom just shot him. And then he was like, he fell on the ground, and then he like was getting up with his, like pushing himself up as a push-up and like crawling and still yelling and angry. And I was freaking out. And I don't remember any other dream I've ever had in life. I've had great dreams. I've had sex dreams. I've had... flying dreams. I don't remember those.
No, they were
I will
bad.
Never fucking forget.
They were all bad. I had one that my father died as well, falling off of something. I had one that my dogs came to me, and as they were nearing me, they turned into wolves and started ripping my limbs apart. I mean, we would wake up sweating. I would be crying at some points because they were the freaking scariest things in the world.
Yeah, it was a chemical running.
And I was just about to say, it's a bad chemical that was put in your fucking brain.
Well, it's...
But it did help quit smoking.
Yeah, what it's doing is it's messing with your neurotransmitters, and it's shutting down certain ones that are responsible for craving nicotine, but they can't just shut those ones down.
I have to say, we don't know enough of the brain to give people medication like that.
So, it's not targeted specifically to that. You're messing with your other neurotransmitters as well, and that's why you're getting depressed and...
How can the FDA approve that shit, dude? You're going to have really violent dreams that are real.
That's why. Because at the bottom, they say may cause suicidal thoughts or impulses, extreme changes in moods, nightmares. Wow. So it's okay.
I'm sitting there going, suicidal thoughts. I go, why would you fucking approve that?
Now, we didn't know when it first came out.
We took it when it was fairly new. Actually.
There was not that much knowledge about how bad it was going to be.
Right. I get it, man. I get it.
And it did make you quit.
I get it. Nah. Nah, I'm not a quitter.
At what risk?
Anywho, I'm sorry. That's a tangent. But yeah, I saw that. So what does death mean?
So again? Yeah, death can be endings or new beginnings.
Or you're taking a drug.
Falling, which is another common one, relates to our anxieties about letting go or losing control.
Mm-hmm.
Or
had
somehow failing after a success. Mm. So that initial rush just to be let down, that's kind of the equation.
Oh, yeah.
There. Food, demons, hair.
What do demons say?
Demons signify repressed emotions. You may secretly feel the need to change your behaviors for the better.
No.
Interesting.
Killing.
I've had those. Those are
It
disturbing.
Represents your desire to kill a part of your own personality. So a lot of times these are... internalized to something that's going on with you, not necessarily. You'll say, oh, why did that person that I knew in third grade that I wasn't even close to come back into my dreams? It's bringing up a part of yourself and you're somehow associating it with that.
Mm-hmm. So it's your subconscious trying to tell you something.
So what about those people that pop up randomly that I kill that I've never seen before in my life in my dream?
Oh, that's just... a personification of something or someone that
something
you
need to know.
Your subconscious
part
is
of yourself.
Using parts of your brain, the visuals that you've picked up and recorded, and it's using that to project it.
Dude,
I have killing these last couple days. I've had killing, but it's different because I've been playing Far Cry 4. So I have
that's
I'm in
a
the
whole
fucking
other
video
thing.
Game and I'm killing people. I've been loving it. I have 40 hours already in that game.
Yeah. The dream I had last, it was so violent. I woke up and I had that initial, what the fuck? And then I snapped out of it. I was like, okay, it was a dream. But I was slicing dudes up with my box cutter. Well, I was defending myself. I remember distinctly I was fighting for my life. I was not the aggressor. But I got to the point where it was just like, okay, it's me or them.
Jesus.
I will tell you, these are interpretations of symbols that come up a lot. But there's a lot of other things that affect your dreams. One thing, if you fall asleep with the TV on,
oh, yeah, things,
it will leak into your subconscious, and you'll start having crazy-ass dreams that make no sense because your brain's picking up on bits and pieces of...
So I had a dream about people selling me stuff, and then when I woke up, it was...
infomercials?
Yep.
So what is it? What does it say that, you know, you don't remember anything in your dreams? That you didn't have any of the key triggers? Is it, or is it nothing that exciting going on in your life?
No,
or?
With what I've read, it's natural not to remember because... that part of your brain that's recording is off.
Yeah.
They don't need that part of the brain.
Well, so
it's...
But, I mean, you remember, like, I remember dreams, you know, violent dreams, you know, way back when I was in the military and for a couple of years afterwards. Mm-hmm. I remember those type of dreams, but I don't remember having them for the past few years. So I don't know if I have had them and I don't remember, or they weren't as violent as before, so, you know, I ignore them,
Go ahead.
It's okay.
What you're saying is a couple things. You're saying you had dreams that you remember now, but you don't remember remembering having them? Is that
no, right? No. I remember having violent dreams years ago.
Okay.
Because they were so prolific that either I woke up or, you know, I remembered bits and pieces of them. But I don't remember them. Like, for the past few years, I don't remember any of that type. I mean...
It makes sense. What they say about dreaming is that there are certain phases of your sleep that you go through. Three different phases, deeper levels of sleep, and ones that have dreams, ones that don't have dreams. You go through cycles of those, typically three, because they last, I don't know, an hour and a half to 2 hours per cycle throughout the night.
Yeah.
And only one of those do you dream in. So a lot of times you have the dreaming cycles earlier on in the night. So by the time you wake up in the morning, you just don't remember. Unless you've had one of those cycles right before you wake up.
Yeah, when you wake up from REM.
Then it's harder.
Exactly. That's what I was going to say.
And also that you tend to have many, many very, very short, like 3 second dreams throughout the course of the night. And when you wake up, your mind tries to string them all together to make sense into one big dream.
Oh, that makes sense.
But it's really hundreds of tiny little dreams. So sometimes you can't remember because...
Holy shit.
It's just a bunch of little tiny, like, 2 second dreams going on.
Yeah.
The Inception theory.
Dream.
So we have... Next is missing a flight, and I think that could also be... I know I've had... that I'm going to miss the school bus.
School bus, that's what I got a lot.
One of those type of things.
Yeah.
Another common dream revealing frustration over missing important opportunities in life, often when you're struggling with making a big decision.
That reminds me of the kid in Play. I missed a bus.
That was Crisscross.
That's what I meant.
I'm just letting you know.
No, you're right.
Just letting you know.
No, you're right. Money. Let's see.
Money can symbolize self-worth. If you dream of exchanging, it may show you're anticipating changes in your life. Nudity. I know we've all had that dream.
Everyone's
where we woke up
that.
And realized we were naked.
I have a huge dick in my dreams. Sorry.
This one is interesting. Well, maybe this correlates to that. It's revealing your true self to others. So you may feel vulnerable or exposed. Roads, schools, sex. There we go. Can symbolize intimacy and a little literal desire for sex at times. Or they may demonstrate the unification of unconscious emotions with conscious recognition, showing new awareness and personal growth.
Okay, what does that mean? What the fuck did you just say?
You're combining your unconscious emotions or your desires, your drives, with your conscious thoughts. So things are coming together for you.
See? Sexually.
No.
See, that makes perfect sense because my sex dreams are once in a blue moon because I have no idea what's going on around me at all times.
Well, that means you're living in perfect harmony, so that wouldn't occur as often.
I thought it'd be a result of me having more sex, but that's not the case.
No, it's not.
Well, here's another one that used to scare the crap out of me. Teeth. I used to have a lot of dreams about my teeth falling out.
Oh.
I would just go feel one that was loose, and they started falling out. I looked it up. I found out it's really common, actually.
That's never happened. That's never happened to me.
It's a fear of getting old.
That's never happened to me.
Wow.
But I also...
Your body deteriorating.
With me, I think because teeth for me is like one of the hygiene things that I highlight.
Mm-hmm.
So it's subconsciously like injuries to my mouth or anything like that. It frightens the hell out of me.
Mm-hmm.
I think most people.
But it's just like, I think I have wound it up so much that mm-hmm. I'm like, you're not thinking about your teeth because you take so much, you know, you take great care of them. Don't mm-hmm. worry about getting older, them falling out or changing color. Don't even think about that shit, Mike, because it's just going to freak you the fuck out.
Well, it is. It is actually a symbol of health. If you look to older times, somebody who's going to buy a horse, how do you know if it's healthy? You check its teeth.
Teeth, yeah.
And when I think about it, when I had those dreams a lot was when I was going through a lot of my health difficulties. So it makes sense on a subconscious level.
I was going to ask you, did you have it as a kid? Because I think there's a difference between dreams of this sort that come out of nowhere and dreams that you're experiencing. Like, again, Far Cry. I dream myself in Far Cry because I'm playing it a lot. If you're a child and you're losing teeth, you're in that stage in life where you're losing your teeth.
Yeah, so it's just...
You know, that
coming
might
into
be,
your dreams,
exactly.
right? No,
exactly.
This was definitely as an adult fairly recently. And then the last one is water, which comes in many forms. And I already knew this. It symbolizes your unconscious mind. So, for instance, calm pools of water reflect inner peace, while a choppy ocean might suggest unease. That's a really common symbol in art therapy.
I have a mix of those.
Yeah.
I have a lot of water dreams.
Now there's,
and that was after. That was after I conquered wetting the bed. I still have them.
I think the only water dreams I had was after Waterworld. I was scared.
Oh.
Because that movie scared me.
Well, if you really think of no more land.
That sucks, man.
That's terrifying. You know what happens if that's the case? We're in the food chain again.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's what
we're
that
no
is.
Longer on top.
And not on
so
the top,
that was,
yeah.
That was, what was that? The 30... 30,
30 common dream symbols and their meanings. I didn't go through all of them, but there's a couple of websites that have 25 most common, 15 most common. They have books that you can go through all of the different topics and what they mean, and they actually go more in depth with it. It's pretty interesting.
Let me ask you this. There was one dream I had as a young kid, very young, where my parents actually came in and woke me up because I was screaming. Mm. I had a dream that stairs were falling on me. So, you know, you go down into a basement or what have you, can see stairs on top of you. It was something similar to that. And it fell on me. And I had my feet up and my arms up. And I was pushing up. Like, trying to push it off of me. And I woke up with my feet and my arms up. Mm. What would that mean if something's falling on you?
Well, there's one in here that talks about being trapped. I don't know if
that's probably similar, yeah.
But it's a common nightmare theme reflecting your inability to escape or make the right choice. So literally feeling trapped in something that's going on in your life right now.
Well, when you're that age, you feel trapped in everything because you have no control over anything in your life.
Yeah, that's true. But I'm sure if you looked up stairs, would probably have an alternate
Mom,
meaning.
Mom, Dad,
as well.
I'm a peacock. You got to let me fly.
They're coming out with another one of that. I can't wait. What was that? The other guys, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this one says dreams of stairs, staircases, lifts, or elevators can often be confusing, make us feel like we're following twists and turns in our mind all night. Only to wake and realize we haven't gone anywhere. This is not surprising when we realize this sort may be forcing us to look where in our lives we are feeling lost or preventing ourselves from reaching a destination we are consciously working hard towards.
Maybe that's why I never became a Major League Baseball player.
Hmm.
Or the fact that I'm 5'9".
Are you failing your exams? Are you failing your exams because deep down you don't want to leave the security of home or school and become self-sufficient? Are you putting off the end of a project because you don't know what you will do when you finally finish it? So, those types of things.
Wow.
A sense of progress in life.
Interesting.
Crazy.
Yeah, I really...
But couldn't it mean something different if you're going downstairs in a dream as opposed to going upstairs?
Well, you know what?
Right?
It's, we're all... The makeup's all the same, but I mean, it's all going to be unique to the person.
Yeah.
At the end of the day.
True. Like, we're generalizing.
We can always generalize, but I mean, one thing, that dream of the steps collapsing on you, someone could have the same exact one that could mean something completely different for them. You know?
Maybe, same path. Maybe my mind, my subconscious was remembering being born. Because I was trapped and I was trying to get out and I was pushing.
I don't know. I'm just fucking.
Well,
I don't know. I don't know. That's the beautiful question.
Yeah,
it's the beautiful question, and it always. I know I've said this a million times before, but we need to do more research on the human brain.
Well, and every person has a different theory on what the dreams mean. I think probably one of the best ones is very simple. That it's just your subconscious mind working out the problems, the fears, the unconscious drives and desires that we don't let ourselves or can't think about during the day.
Mm-hmm.
So when we're finally shut down, we don't have to worry about all of the 8 trillion things we worry about daily. Our mind finally has the chance to play things out, enact scenarios, try to find answers to these problems, or to fight our fears that we're struggling with.
No.
And so when we wake up, that's going to be really confusing because your brain can play through a million different things at nighttime that you might not understand.
Oh, yeah.
When you wake up.
It's true.
That was one thing that I learned when I found out that, you know, I stopped breathing at night. When you have a, I can't remember, I don't know what the acronym CPAP stands for, but it's something.
It's a breathing machine, yeah.
Well, yeah, but it has something the acronym, to do with, I'm sorry. You know, cardiopulmonary something. Mm-hmm. Or
right.
Yeah.
If your brain has to keep you at a subconscious, just under a conscious level to wake you up, have you start breathing again, it can't slow down and do all the things that
get
a brain's supposed
deep
to do.
Sleep
right.
level.
You
yeah.
know, so, I mean, maybe that was one of the things that, because now I'm getting a nice, because
deep
I have
restorative
a
restorative sleep.
You know, I have a CPAP machine now. Now
so you're that, breathing through that.
And, you know, I can breathe now. I have no problems. I mean, that's one of the reasons why my dreams are calmer now.
Yeah.
How does your dog deal with that? Does he freak out when you put that on?
No, it's just a little nostril thing.
If he was young, he would.
He doesn't have the Darth Vader one.
Oh, no.
Oh, all right.
Okay. You have the nostril one?
Yeah.
Christina's dad has one.
I'm looking into that myself.
You know, I had to look at, you know, if eventually I was going to have a partner, then, you know, which is going to scare them less.
Yeah, some of the older ones before they started revising them, because my dad had them for a long time. Really, you looked like an alien.
Oh yeah,
when they were on.
Babe, it's come like, to bed with you.
Yeah, I could see you on like your first time where your partner's sleeping over and you give him a kiss. I love you. I love you too. Good night.
what the fuck?
There's some things you don't know about me.
It's so worth it though.
I'm your father.
I watched my father for many years struggle so hard with that. I mean, the snoring, the stopping breathing, and his was bad. That if you watched him, it literally looked like he was going to die every time it happened, because he would sit there and, you know, first the big snore and then, then it would stop, and you would see his chest like contracting, like it was trying to get breath. It was like he was choking to death.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden it would just like in a giant, and he would inhale breath.
Yeah, that's
like he was
crazy.
Drowning. And
there's no way you're getting good sleep with that.
Well, no, that's not the thing. He was always exhausted. No matter how long you sleep, you're not getting restorative sleep.
Yeah, exactly. I gotta look into it. I have to. I know it's my problem.
Yeah,
well, and there's two reasons for it, actually. There's obstructive sleep apnea. So if you're overweight, if you have sinus problems, whatever, if there's a physical reason. But there's also something called center brain sleep apnea, in which your brain just stops sending the signals to your body to breathe. And that tends to have a strong genetic component, and it runs through my family, that there's a lot of people in my family that have it.
That's true, because there was a trend in the music industry with a lot of these rappers drinking codeine and promethazine, the syrup, as they say.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of these dudes would die in their sleep from that, because the codeine or the promethazine would slow down their body so much. But they said, oh, yeah, he died in his sleep. Why? Oh, well, he was sleep apnea. He could have.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting there, the combination
the brain
of that.
The body up.
Yeah.
The combination of those goodness. Two. Exactly. I'm just sitting there going, what?
Yeah.
So
can you believe losing your life to that?
No.
It's scary, but you know what? The sleep thing is something that so many people struggle with so hard.
Oh, yeah.
And trying to self-medicate just to get a night's sleep.
Mm-hmm.
And all these we could go through, we won't, but the list of different sleep disorders. But I'll just tell you the one that I dealt with from personal experience. When I was a kid, up until probably almost the time I went to college.
Dwarfism.
I was just, you're so... No, I was a sleepwalker.
I was just about to say, I was about to ask about that.
And really bad. I mean, it started to wean off into high school, where eventually I just sort of talked and mumbled in my sleep. Mm-hmm. For many years, it was hardcore that I would do things in my sleep. So my mom would get up early on a Saturday morning, and she would see that I had tried to get dressed. I would have clothes on inside out, backwards, whatever. But I was fully, I was fully dressed. I would be in the kitchen trying to pour myself a bowl of cereal, just standing there pouring milk like over the side of the table.
Oh my God.
But trying to literally do things. And it could get scary because
you're not supposed to wake them up, right?
First of all, you're not supposed to wake them up. They can get violent, even though it's scary to look at.
Jesus. Yeah. Every time I hear that, I think about Step Brothers.
Yes.
Which they make it look hysterical. Pillows and sometimes it is, but sometimes
but
it's
But the realistic
scary
fact is that what happens. That's what happens.
Because first of all, the person's eyes are open but glazed over.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So they kind of look like a zombie.
Wow. Some people drive.
My childhood friend
in the car.
Like, my grandfather used to have this as well, and apparently my grandmother found him once sitting in the car trying to put his keys into Jesus. The ignition, couldn't figure out how to do it.
Oh, wow.
But what I was going to say, it happened to me, because when you're a sleepwalker, apparently if you're familiar with the area, if it's your home, you subconsciously know where to go, and so you tend to be all right. But we went to my grandmother's house, where I wasn't as familiar with, and she had gotten up to use the bathroom in the middle of the night. And heard a thud and came out and saw me. She had maybe 3 or 4 stairs to go downstairs, then a landing and a window, and then the whole rest of the stairs. And I was sitting at the bottom of the landing, the end of the first couple stairs. She asked me if I was all right. Apparently, I said yes. She went back to bed. When you're a sleepwalker, you don't remember anything that you did. So I guess I must have went back to bed. I woke up the next morning, don't know a thing about it. And as I'm waking up, I'm in that half-wake, half-sleep state, and I feel pain. I can't identify it. Oh, wow. I look down at my pillow, and I see there's blood all over my pillow. And then I start to feel this throbbing in my chin.
Oh, God.
And I finally start putting it together. I get up, and I look in the mirror, and my chin had almost split entirely open. Now, it had happened hours ago, so I probably would have needed stitches, but by this point, it was already scabbing up. And later, we found, when we started piecing the story together, there was blood on the windowsill at the end of the landing that I guess I had fell down the first couple of stairs.
Oh, my God.
Cracked my chin on the windowsill at the landing, and thank God I didn't go all the way down the rest of the staircase. But I mean, that's the worst that had ever happened to me. I had a scar for a long time. It could have been really bad.
Yeah. You know what really I envision when you speak about yourself, especially, but anyone, especially a child, sleepwalking? Red Rum.
Red Rum. Red
Rum. Yes.
The way that kid looked when he was all fucked up.
Well, Well, my nephew used to do it. He used to step outside the room. And there was a white chair out in that hallway. He used to piss on that chair like clockwork. Like clockwork.
And it's a white chair.
Like,
shit.
Like clockwork, dude. To the point where I would set my alarm to guide him to the bathroom.
Well, wow. It's funny you should say that. I looked this up to read a little more about it. So it says, also known as somnambulism, a sleep disorder belonging to the parasomnia family. Sleepwalkers arise from the slow wave stage of sleep in a state of low consciousness. That's why they can perform activities that are usually performed in a state of full consciousness. They can be as benign as sitting up, walking to the bathroom, or as hazardous as cooking, driving, violent gestures, or even homicide. There's been reported cases of people killing while sleepwalking.
Wow. Yep.
Although generally they consist of simple, repeated behaviors, like what you're saying, there's reports of people performing complex behaviors. Sleepwalkers often have little to no memory of the incident, as they were in an altered state, harder to recall. Their expression is dim and glazed over. It can last as little as 30 seconds or as long as 30 minutes. So now, what the heck do you do? God only knows what I could have done in some of those states, and that couldn't have been my fault. I wasn't awake.
Yeah, can you get arrested and you know?
Well, I think there was a court. I think there was a Supreme Court case about this actually.
But how do you prove
that somebody tried to use? I forgot how it played out. It was something ridiculous.
Especially if your eyes are open to an onlooker. You might look like you're awake and just...
But, you know, I had another instance where a childhood friend she used to sleepwalk. It was brother and sister that I knew. She used to sleepwalk to the point where when I slept over, me, myself, and her younger brother would just be sitting in downstairs in their den, making sure she wouldn't get off the couch.
Because
she would always go in the kitchen and just take stuff out of the cabinets and drop them on the floor.
Yeah, you could hurt yourself.
Just take stuff out and...
Jesus.
Glass here. You'd hear shit break in the middle of the night, and you sit there, oh, no, it's Meg. She'd be like, oh, we'll make sure, you know, she has her stuff, because she would wake up. We'd go to the hospital a few times because she'd walk over broken glass, not remember it.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, you got to just gently guide them back to the bed.
Yep, and that's what we did. We said we have to let her sit. Softly. She did the ritualistic thing. She'd go in the kitchen. We'd guide her away from the kitchen, sit her down on the couch because that was a spot on, it's more of a love seat. Sit her on the love seat, and that's where they would pet the Roddy that they have. So she would simulate petting the Roddy.
Yeah.
And we'd be like, all right, let's keep her here for a minute. And then when she stops, I'm like, when the petting goes to a slow pace, let's guide her back to her room.
Yeah.
Every time.
My parents would tell me there were times that I would scare the crap out of them. For a couple of years, we lived in a condo before we moved into the house I grew up in. And I think that it's been recorded that these things get worse for kids if they're in times of transition or things that they're not familiar with, new stuff happening. Apparently that was the case because this happened a real lot at that condo, the sleepwalking and the nightmares. And my parents, once you would come down the stairs, that's where the den was, and then there was a couch with the TV right there. And one night, I guess they heard like thundering down the stairs, and they saw me come running down the stairs, run around the table, come right up in front of their face, and just start screaming like nonsense. And then I stopped and I turned around and calmly walked back up the stairs and went to bed. And my parents were just looking at each other like, holy shit. Jesus. It's like some kind of demon is possessing your child.
Yeah, that's got to be weird.
You know what? It's funny you say that. It's funny you say that. I bet a good majority of exorcisms were because of people who were sleepwalking.
Can you imagine?
Or hangings for being a witch.
I would definitely say, right? I would definitely say from 1500s up.
Well, that's a good explanation if you don't have any other one. That person looks like they're possessed.
Exactly. That glazed over look, everything, doing unexpected things.
Talking gibberish.
Huge amount, huge feats of strength when you're doing that.
Mm-hmm.
Like saying, I was describing that story before about my childhood friend. Connor's about the same, I'm saying his name, I gotta stop. It's about the same size, as me. His sister's a little bit bigger than you, and we could not hold her down.
Oh, yeah.
Could not hold her down.
Absolutely.
It's a retard strength.
Well, the chemicals, then, especially if you wake that person up. You wake that person up and they're shifting so rapidly, the amount of adrenaline and chemicals flowing through their body at that point. You bring up a good point. Actually, I Googled it, what nightmares, where the word came from. It evokes the modern word for a female horse, but the terms are wholly unrelated. The word actually derives from the Old English mare, a mythological demon or goblin who torments others with frightening dreams. And then the prefix night was added later to stress the dream aspect.
How about that?
Because it's funny, because I watch things and movies and in these, not prehistoric, but, say Game of Thrones-esque. And they say, oh, you're having it. And they say, oh, don't worry, you're having a dream. How the fuck do they know that's a dream? You know what I mean? How do they know?
Well,
who came up with that word? And I'm just saying,
dreams.
I was just saying, how did this, line of thinking and this, the work to go into study this, how did it start?
Yeah.
That's what I want to, research into.
Well, I'm sure people probably thought early on that it was visions, premonitions that they were getting.
Any false shamans
in religious, absolutely.
There probably were.
Especially people that could lucid dream. And I was going to bring that up next, that if you start realizing in your dreams you can dream and to a certain extent having control over them.
Mm-hmm.
I can only imagine what powers people attributed to that back in the day.
Oh, yeah.
But now we know there's exercises you can do, things you can practice to get better at it, to be able to do this.
Right.
So if you don't know, basically lucid dreaming is just the ability to realize that you're dreaming when you're in a dream. There was a theorist who basically laid the groundwork for the research. And to categorize what a lucid dream was, he gave it 7 different conditions. that a dream must fulfill to be defined as a lucid dream. One, awareness of the dream state, orientation. Two, awareness of the capacity to make decisions. Three, awareness of memory functions. Four, awareness of identity. Five, of the dream environment. Six, of the meaning of the dream. And seven, of concentration and focus, so the clarity of your state.
Okay.
So once you start getting good at this, people have different cues that they give themselves. So I think I remember somebody saying they would try to tap each of their fingers to their thumb in the dream, and if they could do that, they knew they were dreaming and they knew they were in control, and then they would start to try to change the aspects.
I've heard people say what they do, because they love to lucid dream because they can control it. What they do is, in real life, whenever they go through a door, they knock three times and say, "I'm not dreaming." Then they go through another door, "I'm not dreaming." Boom, boom. So in their dreams, if they don't knock, they go, "Whoa, wait a minute, I'm dreaming."
So something not doing in the dream versus...
Yeah,
for mine, I was trying to do the opposite. Like, if something happens, then you tap your fingers.
Yeah.
And in real life, you wouldn't do that.
I always wake up once I realize it.
Oh, really?
That's the most common thing that happens.
It sucks.
Because your brain will automatically shift now.
Especially
if you know you're dreaming.
Especially with the sex dreams.
My brother
would be so good and real for a second.
Basically, is what you're happening, Mike, is that you're gaining a certain level of consciousness in your dream. So once that happens, you normally come all the way out into full consciousness.
Yeah.
If I could just reach climax in the dream, that'd be great. I'm asking.
My sex dreams are always like the foreplay, and then I never have the rest.
I think everybody, that's like the falling dream where you never hit the ground.
Yeah.
You always wake up before you get to the ground. Yeah. I think it's the same concept.
I've had very rare occasions where I've realized I was dreaming, and I'd say, I'm dreaming. Mm-hmm. I can fly. And then for a second, I'm like, fuck yeah, I'm flying. And then all of a sudden,
you realize you can't.
Subconscious or my conscious starts saying, "You can't fly, man. You guys."
Yep.
So then all of a sudden,
falling.
I'm having trouble flying. Yeah. I'm like, and then
so
I wake
up
and I'm like, "God damn it!"
I think we've all been through that. And then if you come back to that dream later, you could start to realize there's a method. Like, oh, if I do this, I won't fall anymore.
Yeah.
Like I can make it happen, and you might get better at it.
You and the captain.
But.
Can make it happen.
That's a certain level. That's what you're describing as lucid dreaming, babe. Where that awareness is there, and you start being able to change the dream.
And my brother used to be able to do it. He used to say, like, "Yeah, I'm really good at it." I don't know if he still is anymore, but growing up, he would say, "Yeah, I can lucid dream," and he would have things happen in his life. When we have him on the podcast, we'll talk to him about it. Remind me to ask him.
Those are the people that scare me. when you can do that. Because to me, that's control. That's a certain amount of control over your brain in a different state.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Not a lot of people can do that. We need to study those motherfuckers.
Now I'm going
to
scare you even more. And I'm going to tell you about, if you guys don't know, they call it shared dreaming. I had somebody once, an astrologist, told me it was called tandem dreaming.
Okay.
But I can't find that term if you look it up online.
It's like Dropbox dreaming.
Yeah, kind of. So
sharing a folder.
If you Google it for shared dreams, you'll find that there's two categories, mutual and concurrent. In each case, two or more people dream similar characters and activities. What differentiates them are the means by which they occur. So in mutual dreaming, the dreamers intentionally develop a desire to experience a shared dream. In concurrent dreams, the dreamers had no idea their content would be similar until afterwards when they talked about it. So mutual dreaming is an intentional movement towards influencing the content. I guess what my sister and I were experiencing then is concurrent dreams, because we didn't realize until years later that we were dreaming the same dream. And you know, you sit around like we're doing now, and we would say, "Oh, I used to have this dream all the time when I was younger. This is what happened."
Yeah.
We start doing that one day with friends, and I start talking about this one recurrent dream that I had a lot when I was younger about my sister and I going ice skating. And everything was going along nicely. We're skating around. And at some point, I turned around and realized that she wasn't behind me. And I saw a hole in the ice. And she had fallen through.
Oh, Jesus. Wow.
And was drowning and couldn't get out. And then it's one of those things where the dream starts warping on you. You know, like you can't walk straight. You can't move fast enough. You're trying to reach her.
That.
And it's
like
you're going through a tunnel.
Yeah,
exactly.
And for whatever reason, I just couldn't get to her, couldn't get her out. And the moment where I thought I was going to lose her, I would always wake up. So my sister would say, and I would describe, you know, what was around me, what I was looking at.
Yeah.
And my sister said, holy shit, I used to have that same exact dream when I was younger too, except I was the one falling through the ice and reaching towards you and to lift me out. So we were dreaming the same dream, but from different perspectives the dream.
Whoa.
Which to me is insane.
That's trippy.
Oh, yeah, so definitely. And it's not like we influenced each other. Like, I told her about my dream, and then she went and dreamt it, which would be explainable.
Same time? Or just you brought it up later on?
I think they probably occurred around the same time periods of our life. You know, we never kind of narrowed it down any more than that, but...
That's crazy, Chris.
So...
Have you guys had any other dreams that way?
There was one other sort of similar one, but this one was scary same. But yeah, we would talk about some others that were pretty similar. They had a lot in common, and we've discussed this often because we're not twins, but you would almost think that we were. We kind of share this waves of thinking and stuff that...
So much sexier, though.
Comes into our minds, stuff that we dream about. So whatever that is that kind of bonds twins together,
yeah.
I think it exists in other people, too, at some times. And
oh, I'm sure.
I think that we have a certain degree of that, and it comes out a lot in dreams.
Yeah. Frank, have you had any crazy dreams?
The only one that I can remember is that I feel like I'm back in high school, and we used to run... We had a figure eight type of building, a square figure eight.
Okay.
And when I was doing track practice, we would run the two floors. We'd start on the first floor, run, go up the stairwell.
I remember doing that shit. Then, yeah.
And for a long time.
Indoor track.
Yeah. And for a long time, I would have a dream where I couldn't get up the stairs, that I'd have to hold on to the railing and pull myself up.
I hate those dreams.
And I would never, ever finish. And every single time I'd have to go upstairs, or like when I was awake going upstairs, I'd just subconsciously start thinking about that and then look at the stairs for a split second before I walk up them. Like, can I get up these?
Jesus.
You know?
That is the worst feeling in dreams, when you just stop you lose control over your ability to move right,
the motor skills are all off.
You know something's wrong, and you just keep fighting against it, and you can't change it. It's an awful feeling.
Yeah, it was weird.
Especially when there's somebody... at the same time chasing you.
Yeah.
Or something's coming and you're trying to move and it won't happen.
What about when you were in the Air Force? Did you have like dreams when you were in boot camp where it's like, it's so intense that you're dreaming boot camp too?
Did you even sleep enough in boot camp to be able to dream?
I don't remember having any weird dreams when I was in boot camp. I do. When I was in North Dakota, I did have lots of dreams. Only because, you know, the procedures that we go... I was nuclear weapons officer in North Dakota, if nobody doesn't know. Anybody doesn't know. Sorry, bad English. And because of the procedures and the books that we had to read, it was drilled into us. It took it almost like 3 weeks to learn it.
Okay.
But every 3 weeks, we had to relearn it. So by the time, you know, like a year was done, everything you knew how to... you know, launch weapons or, you know, enter messages or take care of stuff, you had memorized.
Right.
So I would have dreams of actually turning keys and launching weapons and doing certain things because it's just ingrained in my head that I knew nothing else.
Well, thank God you weren't a sleepwalker. Why was China bombed? Frank was sleepwalking.
He just turned the key, pressed the button.
I thought I was turning my car on.
Yeah.
Jesus. But yeah. That...
Well, yeah, like we were talking about before, I think recurring dreams, often when we're younger, we have those same ones of we're going to miss the school bus. We have to take an exam or something we're not prepared for. You're walking around outside and you realize you're naked.
Yeah. I've had that when I was young.
The falling ones where I never actually... I think there's still controversy over whether it's true. They always say you don't hit the ground because the reason is if you die in your dream, you die in real life. Now, I always thought that was baloney. Except I have woken up in a couple of dreams where my life is at risk or something is happening. Say I'm drowning in a dream and I wake up in real life and realize I haven't been breathing.
Yeah.
To the point that I will take a huge breath of air.
Yeah.
Or when I was in college, I had a horrible nightmare. I was staying, I lived on campus, staying in the dorms for the weekend, and I was pretty sick and I was sleeping a lot. So I had a horrible nightmare and it woke me up. I guess I'd been asleep a long time. The nightmare was that I was in a building that was on fire and all the doors were closed and we were banging on the exits. I couldn't get out and I was starting to burn. And I woke up and I had like 105 fever in real life. And I wound up having to go to the hospital. I was really sick. And I think my brain was sending me messages.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
something is wrong here.
Right. Those two examples were that in real life you were experiencing it. You probably weren't breathing in real life. And then your dream was like you were drowning.
Mm-hmm.
And you had a huge fever. So your dream was you were on fire.
Yeah, it seeped into my brain.
It wasn't like in your dream you're drowning so you couldn't breathe in mm-hmm. real life. Hopefully, because that's scary. I'm not going to sleep tonight if that's...
Well, yeah, it's like chicken or egg because does it happen the opposite way sometimes to people, maybe.
Maybe. Know? Maybe.
Doing all right, Mike?
Yeah, I have to start the second half.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. We have like maybe 20 minutes left. If you want to just sit down real quick or no?
I have to.
Okay, so goodbye? Is that what it is? Is that what you're saying?
I'm not saying goodbye.
You no longer exist?
I'm saying I'll see you guys.
We started without Frank and we'll finish without him.
Oh, there we
hey,
go.
Hey, world. I'll see you soon. I'm cooking up some shit right now.
We need our food.
I'm not saying that my priorities...
What are you saying?
...are different or they've just changed at the moment.
Well, actually, we were going to have to wrap up the dream talk anyway because we had a couple other things to get to, right?
We do, actually. We have some Game of Thrones news.
Uh-oh.
Yes. Here's the first big... thing. I don't think we've talked about it in the podcast yet. We have a new podcast channel we've opened up. All of last year's season 4 Game of Thrones, the Coffee Klatch Crew Game of Thrones episode review episodes.
It was on our regular.
Which is on our CKC podcast, the one you're listening to now. They're all over there now. And it's a whole new channel. It's called Game of Thrones Episode Review.
Nice.
Game of Thrones is coming up now, this year, April 12th, season 5.
Yes, it seems that date is official.
Yes.
It was in debate for a while.
So we have this new channel that we're going to be doing these episode reviews. But for this year, we're also going to be doing it at the CKC podcast. It's just because if someone missed this one episode, our podcast right now, they wouldn't know. So we're going to do both, and they'll be released in both. But if you have friends out there that are not really into... CK podcast, which I can't imagine, but they're not into it because of the other things we talk about, but they really love Game of Thrones. Let them know about the CKC podcast Game of Thrones episode review. It's great. My designs, those are my favorite designs because I really get crazy with those.
Yeah, those are pretty simple.
The cover, yeah. And of course, Frank is an avid watcher, so he'll be on a lot of those episodes as well.
Not as in depth as you guys, but you know.
Yeah, but you're. Yeah. Definitely.
I still cry at night about the Red Wedding.
So, the news we have to bring to you, it's probably going to make a lot of book reader fans pretty upset if you haven't heard about it yet.
I'd say so.
George R.R. Martin's publishers confirmed that Book 6, The Winds of Winter, which we've been waiting for since 2011, will not be published in 2015. A lot of people thought that's what was going to happen.
And people are mad.
Is it not going to be published ever?
No, it's coming, just a lot slower than we thought. And so they're telling people that they're complex books. It requires immense amount of time, concentration.
It's about three books, regular books.
Also, R.R. Martin himself has said that he is moving slower than he had anticipated originally with writing them. However, so here comes the problem. Season 5 Game of Thrones arrives in April. It's based on Book 4, A Feast for Crows, as well as parts of Book 5, A Dance with Dragons. The producers split Book 3 into two seasons, but that had a lot of plot, so they're not able to do that for these next couple of books. And the HBO show is on a regular schedule, filming every fall, airing every spring.
Yeah, has to do it.
They can't delay it. Already, they were saying, as it is, some of the actors are growing up on a faster pace than what they were supposed to.
In the storyline,
in the book, they're looking older. So
just like Harry Potter, same issue.
Yeah.
These kids were like fucking teenagers still in grade school.
Exactly. So the producers have made it clear they intend to end the show with season 7. No questions. We have a clear roadmap. Season 6 arrives in 2016, and our last season, 7, 2017. And then that will be the end. However...
Did they give a hint on what kind of ending? Or how is it going
to end? Well, no, but I'm going to get to that. So Martin's roadmap, the writer, involves two more novels, okay. The Winds of Winter and A Dream of Spring. So he's going to diverge somewhat from the TV. The titles were announced nearly a decade ago. This has been his plan forever. And you never know. He might even change it again at some point and add more books before he decides to end it. So
they'd speak. They'd get paid.
No, they're in cahoots. He trusts them. They probably gave him some awesome additional ideas and shit. He's delaying this book on purpose. He knows exactly what the fuck he's doing.
Well, the problem is...
it's going to be different than the show. And then guess what? You have to read the book now.
The problem is, even at his fastest conceivable writing speed... it was taking him two-year gaps between books, and the TV show just cannot wait
It's just moving at a faster pace.
Fans have gotten upset saying he should be writing faster. He's not listening to any of that. He writes at his own pace. Here's the question, okay? What if the screen version of something beats the book it was based on for the first time in history? And that's what we're looking at. This has never happened before, turning book into TV show where the TV is running ahead of the book.
That's
and doesn't
pretty cool.
know what's going to happen. Yeah. So we've thought about this a long time ago, guys. Martin told the producers key plot points in order to cover that and the direction he was moving in so that they would kind of know how to follow along close enough if they wanted to.
Yeah, right.
The question is, we don't know if he told them exactly how it's going to end because we don't know if he knows. Yeah. A lot of writers don't know exactly where they're going to end their books till they get there. So... the producers might just have to kind of strike out on their own at some point.
Well I mean, this has happened before. The James Bond series. They've been out of books for the past two movies. They recycled one, and they started the series over again, so to speak. But they're kind of working on open scripts. You know, they have approval from the family, which still has, you know, production control. Right. And, you know, keep it towards the original... perspective, but you know they're out of books as well. So, and they're not going to be any new ones because the original writer's dead.
Right. Well, I think it's different when you know there won't be any more books. I think this is the first time where we're saying there are going to be more books. The writer will have his own end, but the TV people have to come up with theirs before the books come out.
Yeah. And HBO,
which could wind up being very different.
Yeah, and they already know that they're ending the show in 2017.
They got to have their own map. They can't wait.
But R. R. Martin is there. He's on set. He's there. So he's going to have a hand in it. They're not...
But he might not know, is the point.
Oh, no, but...
always where it's going.
Not necessarily, but they're not going to say, all right, well, this guy dies and this guy finds the Holy Grail. And not have him know about it where he says, no, I don't know what's going to happen, but that's not going to happen. You know, he has some say
in it. Yeah, and I think that... you know, the reason Martin agreed to let these guys do it in the first place was he felt they intuitively had a strong grasp on his vision for the book.
Oh, yeah. And we talked about that.
That I don't think their ideas would include something that he would look at and say, that's not anything like what I would write. It just won't happen.
No.
But they know who Jon Snow's mother is. They told him. Yep. The first meeting they had.
Yeah.
And they were just like, so we know who Jon Snow's mother is. And he was like, no, you don't. He said no. Yeah,
they get it.
Well, that was his when R.R. Martin was interviewing the two directors. I forget their name right now, but
Weiss and Benioff.
Yeah, that's why I love you. And we spoke about this in one of our Game of Thrones episodes. Essentially, that was one of his quiz questions, and they guessed right.
His main question, I like your answer, you can do my book. You can turn it into a series. And I think everybody would agree that was like the pivotal.
And again, this was their first series or anything that they ever did on this scale. These two guys.
At all.
That's right.
They don't have anything shown. They don't have a reel. They don't have anything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So it really shows how talented they are. Because I was having this discussion. I'm sorry. I'm talking overworld. But I'm doing some cooking. But they have no experience doing big budget anything, low budget anything. But I said, if I was an executive and these two dudes came to me with this story, I would sit there and tell them to go fuck themselves and be like, hey, you know what? I really like this idea, but I know a lot of talented writers.
Yeah.
What can you show me? Show me something you shot yourself. Show me your skill.
Well, yeah.
But I'm just saying from a pure business standpoint. Yeah. Well, the nerd R. R. Martin, wouldn't be like, yeah, I want to see
this. Yeah, well, R.R. Martin had skilled people asking them, and it was the same thing that he actually was a writer for a show before, and it's the same...
He didn't want people changing his story.
Well, that, and also, like, they were trying to change it for TV. And they're like, well, we have to cut this cake up and we have to put it in these pieces because it works.
They knew.
Finally, there were two guys that just did not follow that philosophy because they didn't even know it.
They were keeping to the essence of his book.
Well, they also knew HBO was the only network it could be on.
But I think that's just to end this off, I think that's what's got people nervous, is that they were able to keep very true to his essence because they read the books, they got it, they spoke to him, and then they came up with the plan for the series.
Yeah.
So now it's like, when they don't have that roadmap, are they going to be able to stay as true to this? But I think if you look at it, guys, at this point it will be six seasons and six books that the producers have gone through with R.R. Martin. By the time they get up to that last season, they should be of a mind with him. They should know. They should have an idea intuitively of where it should go.
Yes.
Yeah, it might not be exactly the same, but I think they will keep true to what he was after.
Yeah, like you said, like by that point, that last season should be closing a lot of plot lines. So, you know, they should come to the same natural end that he's going to finish writing with.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You know.
Agreed. And the last Game of Thrones news is Christina Sophie Turner, who plays Santa Stark, will play in X-Men Apocalypse. She's going to be Jean Grey.
Really?
Yep.
Sweet.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Originally played by that hot brunette, Famke Jensen. Exactly. I have it written down, but I did not know how to say Famke. I was like, how the fuck do I say Famke? Famke?
Oh, yeah. Bitch that was killing dudes that while she was fucking
him. Sophie Turner or Samba?
Yeah. Famke,
sorry. Yeah.
She's hot.
Well, it'll be interesting to see what else she can do, Sophie Turner.
Well, that's the thing. It's going to be nice to see.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Has she done anything else? Any small-time stuff?
You know, I don't know. I'd have to look that up.
All right. So, last call. Let's do one more segment. We have a bunch planned, but this has gone long, which is great. I'm really glad. Thank you, Christina, for this topic.
Absolutely.
Let's do some random facts. That means, Mike, you just creep in and you talk to the mic when you have an answer, okay?
Just be the overhead voice.
No problem with that.
Cool. All right. Sounds good to me. All right, so random facts. Question number one. What are you actually agreeing to when you pinky promise? A, cut off your pinky. B, take a pound of flesh. C, poke your own eye out. Or D, give your life. So again, what are you actually agreeing to when you pinky promise?
Wow.
Say poke your eye out.
Mike, from a distance, said C, poke your eye out.
I'm going to go with the first one, take off your pinky.
No, I think I'm going to go with the last one.
Give your life.
Give your life, yeah.
So Frank says give your life. Christina says A, cut off your pinky, and Mike says poke your own eye out. The correct answer is A. Christina, you're on a roll. Last podcast, you got two right.
And prior to these, I had gotten every single question wrong.
Wrong.
Forever.
Do they, does it give the meanings?
Yes.
Of each.
So answer A, be careful when making pinky promises. The practice came from the Japanese mafia, and you're essentially agreeing to let the other person chop off your smallest digit if you break the promise.
Oh, wow.
Yep. Well, the reason that made sense to me was a lot of medieval punishments involves removing a finger or a toe for your crimes.
Yep.
That's the Japanese thing in general.
Well, the reason why I picked D, because I would think that this is like more than a promise, that is something that's deep inside of you, that you know, you'd almost take your own life rather than break it. Mm-hmm. Is that how they explained that last one, or is it?
No, they only explained
that
the right
probably
answer,
goes
right?
along
right
with answer. That other rhyme, cross my heart and hope to die.
Yeah, that's probably that one.
My
yeah,
eye.
Yeah. Yeah, that encompasses all the other ones.
That brings them all in there.
Yeah. All right, so question number two. What is the loudest animal on Earth? A, howler monkey. B, blue whale. C, tiger pistol shrimp. D, spotted hyena.
Blue whale.
Howler monkey.
Yeah, I'd have to go with the blue whale on that one.
So Mike and Frank both go B, blue whale. And Christina says A, howler monkey.
Mm-hmm.
The correct answer is B, blue whale.
Yay. Yay to Frank. Well, yeah, they definitely, they're the largest animal, and they send off that specific way of making sounds that can
sound
travel
waves
through the ocean. Yep. But I didn't know if that correlates the same to in the air.
Right.
That's a tricky.
Yeah, then that's good thinking.
I can't hear you.
It's a kind of a cheat because sound travels through water very well.
Yeah, yeah. Differently than through air.
But still, when I just think of the sure size of the animal,
yeah.
If that was even above water, I'm sure if you were in Los Angeles, you'd hear it from fucking New York.
Yeah, I
sonar,
think so,
man. Sonar.
Sonar, thank you.
Yeah, so blue whale. The blue whale, the largest animal on Earth, is also the loudest. It produces sound up to 188 decibels.
Oh, wow.
Which can be detected underwater as far away as 530 miles.
Whoa. That's detected ridiculous. By who and what?
Yeah, by whom. Yeah, absolutely. Other whales, I guess.
Yeah, I'm hoping. Yeah.
All right, last question. What were Cinderella's slippers originally made of? A, wood. No, originally, before...
In the old fairy tale, the Hans Christian Andersen
originals?
Yes. And before the fairy godmother made it magical.
Yeah. Okay. Gotcha.
So, wood, B, velvet, C, diamonds, D, fur.
I'm going to say wood because a lot of shoes were made of wood back then. Those clog type.
I think I remember something about wood in the story.
I don't know. I have to go with your guys' guess. It seems more logical. But
all right, so you all are going with wood.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think you guys are thinking Pinocchio, but that's okay.
No. A lot of shoes are made of wood.
Well, I know. Answer is D, fur. Cinderella's glass slippers were probably made of squirrel fur. Historians believe that the original French tale mistranslated the word verre, meaning glass, for vare, meaning squirrel.
Oh, well, she lived in the forest, so it makes sense, I guess. Some squirrel
fur.
Yeah,
that's crazy.
Were those in at the time?
Yeah, it was the latest fashion.
She's going to a huge ball. I mean, I'm going to wear squirrels.
It matched her beautiful, sparkly dress. Can
and her hairy legs.
Now, will they tell that in a new rendition coming out later this year?
No, I don't think so. All right, let's... I said that was the last one, but let's do one more. It's question of the week, because okay. I already told you guys this. Except for you, Frank. I'm sorry.
Sorry, I came late.
So, question of the week. I ask a question that makes you really think. It's something that it's not just like a regular question. You have to dig deep and really think about it.
Okay.
This week is, what's something you wish money could buy?
Yeah, you gave this to me before and you said give yourself time to think about it, but I actually just immediately the answer came to me and I didn't have to think about it.
Oh, cool. Okay.
The first thing I thought was time, but I switched rapidly to health.
Okay.
So I'm going to go with I wish money could buy health.
Okay, I like that.
I was going to say the same thing, dude.
You got a cold,
Michael,
you want to buy a cure,
thing.
Here's $5, I'm better.
Exactly.
And that could extend to a great many things.
Mike said exactly, as in the same thing. He's cooking right now, so that's why
no.
you can't hear.
Fuck you.
No. If people are asking me, why is Jason always answering for Mike?
I'm not lazy, that's what I
think. No, he's in the kitchen cooking for us. So
you hear that, world? Cooking. Choose health. Every time.
Well, yeah, and you know, thinking about, yeah, to be able to buy more time would be great, but if you're not feeling well or aging or whatever, then what does more time do for you, really, you know?
I don't know. I'd have to go with understanding.
Okay.
And this has to deal on a world level, you know, being able to...
So not knowledge, but understanding.
Yeah, because I think everyone has knowledge. It's being able to understand how everyone interprets that knowledge.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow. Okay.
You know? So I think if we can be able to buy that, we'd be able to mediate things a lot easier and solve
war,
problems.
War, no conflict.
Exactly. Yeah, well, what we kind of job together. Would you translate that to? A lot of things, huh? Therapist. Teacher. A lot of things, yeah. All right, so I wrote this down before you guys, obviously, because... I made the question, which, funny enough, is pretty much the same thing as Christina and Mike. Perfect physical and mental health. If you could just... And I have a good insurance company right now, so I'll just like use that and whatever extra money, a couple $100, I would like perfect physical and mental health. So not just physical health, but I added mental, because
mm-hmm.
that's very important, too.
Yeah. Because we don't want you to have a good body and be insane.
Yes, exactly.
Then where are you going?
So that wraps it up. One last thing. House of Cards Season 3 came out on Netflix last Thursday. Yep. I'm already on episode 2 of that. One of my favorite shows. I'm just ecstatic. I have to rewatch the last episode I watched because I was really drunk when I watched it. Do not watch this show when you're drunk because there's too many things going on. It's like very wordy and
yeah.
Well, and also we have an announcement for you too that leading up to the Game of Thrones season premiere on April 12th, probably the week before, sometime around then, we will be having our Getting Ready for the Season podcast, our first one. We will review a little bit about the last season, how things wrapped up, and talk about our predictions, our thoughts for this season. So look for that.
Absolutely, and we'll let you know. Obviously, we'll let you know as soon as when it's coming up, when it's closer.
Because I'll definitely need that.
Yes. Well, you'll probably be here, so. Okay. All right, until next time, this round's on me.
This round is on me.
Try again.